What do we really want in life? What do we need? The Gospel of John is a great gospel. You know, pretty much all the Bible's pretty good. But John especially is great because its main themes, many themes, but main themes are big words, soteriology and Christology, salvation and the person of Christ. In fact, John 20, verses 30 and 31 are recognized as being the purpose statements for all of the gospel. And Jesus truly did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these signs are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So a very evangelically purpose, you know, believing, but especially for the Jews. John is a Jewish boy, uses a lot of Jewish scripture, and he's out to prove that the Messiah, the coming Messiah from the Old Testament, is Jesus. Sometimes as, you know, 2026 Christians, we miss that fact, the impact on the original audience. And so in John, in his organization, how he is proving this purpose, we're in a section on the festivals of Judaism. The feast started in chapter 5 and goes to chapter 10, verse 39. But where these festivals, these man's festivals that the Jews were very meticulous to follow, Jesus is showing these signs and then teaching on them to show that he replaces ultimately those festivals, and he has authority over them. You know, sometimes we get our eyes, well, you're not doing it right. We gather together is not a Thanksgiving song, John, but we always sing it at Thanksgiving. And sometimes I'm just, you know, illustration, sometimes we miss the more important point. And so in chapter 6, and thank you for standing, and our lector, Chrysostom, the golden mouth, Galvin. That's a lot of reading, but one thing about context, we need to understand what's going on in the context. And so chapter 6, there are signs, you know, the feeding of 5,000, the walking on water, and then what's called a discourse, where Jesus, it's not just about the miracle, it's about what the miracle means. And so Jesus teaches on that. They're not just naked, if you will, miracles, although that's what tends to entertain people, isn't it? Ooh, what about that? Do it again, do it again. So for example, some of the signs: changing water to wine, healing the nobleman's son. Giles preached on healing the lame man, where the Messiah, as prophesied Isaiah chapter 35, the Messiah would heal blindness, the deaf, the lame would leap like a deer, the mute speak. So the miracle has a greater purpose to show who Jesus is. And so walking on the water, for example, the Messiah has power over the laws of nature. I don't suspect too many of you can walk on the water, but God the Son can. And so then now Jesus, most of this chapter is taken up with Jesus teaching. So when he healed the paralytic man, for example, chapter 5, what Giles preached on, it was on a Sabbath. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. We're so busy, sometimes consumed with, oh, you're not doing the Sabbath right. You know, our eyes are down here versus Jesus, who is Lord of the Sabbath. When he feeds the 5,000, he is feeding his people with the bread of life, and there's more on that in a second. But what do the people do? They want a king. Ooh, he gave us bread. We want a normal king. When he walks on water, I already talked about that. That was his fifth sign. So if you have your Bibles in chapter 6 of John, picking up in verse 22, this is a famous picture. And someone, probably a young person, said, why does he look so sad? Well, because he has no peanut butter. But in verses 22 to 26, you know, sort of sets us up. And this has become, this whole passage has become, you know, very disagreed on. But you have to remember, this is the Passover context. And John is writing to a Jewish audience primarily. And so when he's talking, his idea is not to give some view about the Eucharist or the communion or Lord's Supper. You know, there are sacramentarians, there are anti-sacramentarians. That's not John's purpose. Although, if you will, this is his version of the Eucharist, because there's no evidence or there's no mention in John of actually instituting it, like the other synoptic gospels. But his idea, purpose, tying it back to Passover, the Exodus, God feeding his people in the desert for 40 years with bread, manna, and with the purpose, with the person of Moses, very important to the Jewish people, of course. And so, for a Jewish audience, this teaching by Jesus would be scandalous, basically. And of course, they are very superficial and missing what Jesus is truly teaching, where the manna and Moses are what the Bible calls, or are called types. Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of the type manna bread. Moses, the lawgiver. And so later, of course, John chapter 6, read by Christians, started to put our own spin on, you know, what's this mean to me type of thing versus John's purpose. I have one of my professors in graduate school, Don Carson, said, had a great quote. When it came to the bread, feeding the 5,000 men, of course, so many more people, of course, all are satisfied. All had enough to eat versus, you know, think of manna, they had enough for one day. John portrays this as a miracle, not a Eucharistic mouthful. Still less an ethical lesson on how to shame people into sharing their lunches. There are sermons that the real miracle was people were shamed into sharing their lunch too. No, this is a miracle. And so John's version, if you will, about the feeding people is the lavishness, it's very extravagant. It's a miracle, a sign. And people missed the sign. They had full bellies, physical, but not full hearts, spiritual. and John's not portraying the people as wrong in their appreciating the fact it was a miracle, but in their understanding of the significance, which I fear too often we preachers are big on the shallow, moralistic, simplistic, you know, me-centered application of what, you know, it's all about me and the food versus what Jesus is really saying. Signs, what do signs do on the highway? They point to something. So when you see a sign for divide, the center of the known universe, we don't stand at the sign and, oh, look at that sign. We want to get to the center of the known universe. So signs point to something. And then verses 27 to 34, the work of God, believing in the true manna. So just a couple points. Verse 27, Jesus says that he is the seal of the Father. Seals show approval or a mark of ownership, a mark of authenticity. And so the Son of Man gives people. He gives everlasting life. And then rabbis, verses 28 to 29, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Rabbis taught that heavenly food was in the Torah, the Old Testament, the first five books of the Old Testament, Proverbs 9, verses 5 and 6. And so they're asking, what can we do from the law? And of course, Jesus responds with, this is the work that you believe in the true bread that God has provided, which he mentions in the next several verses, that the bread from heaven is, you know, manna in the Old Testament, you know, and so they are quoting, misquoting the Jewish people. Psalm 78, 24, that, you know, that the understanding that that this manna, the Messiah, would, like Moses was the Redeemer, the latter Redeemer, the great Redeemer, would also provide manna just like Moses. But their priorities are mixed, or missing the point, aren't they? You know, the people and their priorities, maybe ours. Well, Jesus, Moses fed a nation. Moses fed a nation for 40 years with manna from heaven. You only fed 5,000 in one day with regular bread. What else you got? And sometimes that's the level of our expectations. And Jesus had to correct him and say, Moses didn't give you the manna. God provided it. So then the next several verses where Jesus talks about the bread of life, and this is the first of his I am statements where he says I am and has a what's called a predicate. I am the bread of life. And this section is bracketed off, if you will. It's called an inclusio, but verse 35 to 48, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And in the Gospel of John, there are seven of these. You know, I am the light, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and life, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the true vine. And in this point in this episode, now there are less interruptions, and Jesus is having longer comments, and some other ideas that I'm not going to go into, but talking about satisfaction, that you'll never hunger and thirst with this true bread. God's will, Jesus is doing the will of the Father. and everlasting life, the last day, resurrection, verse 40, that God's will is that he will raise up those who see and believe. And then verse 44, the Father draws people. No one can come unless the Father draws them, and they will be raised up. And then the teaching and learning that the people, in Isaiah 54, the people will be taught by God, which Jesus is saying, you know, taught by God, you will come to me. And so just very important, reorienting their idea of the bread of life, being drawn to Jesus, the true bread. And then finally, he talks about the flesh and blood, eating the greater manna. And this is has another bracket. It starts off verse 49. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. Verse 58. This is the bread of life which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate and are dead. So the idea of death, there needs to be death. And the word he uses, his flesh, is not the word used in the institution of, you know, this is my body broken for you. No, Jesus uses a different word, flesh, physical death. Death is required. And many of you might know the name Warren Wiersbe. He has a lot of good, if you will, preaching insights, you know, little nuggets you could hang on to. But he says some of the differences of Jesus and manna. Manna sustained life for Israel. Jesus gives life to the world. The Jews ate manna daily and died. Received Jesus once and lived forever. God gave a gift in the manna. He gave himself in Jesus. Manna cost God nothing. Jesus cost God much. And then some similarities. These get a little more interpretive. Manna was mysterious. You know, the word manna in Hebrew means, what is it? You know, the people saw the manna for the first time. What is it? We'll call it manna. We'll call it, what is it? Jesus was a mystery to those who saw him. He was constantly having to, you know, get the deeper truth out of people. Manna came at night from heaven. Jesus came to earth in spiritual darkness. And in the Gospel of John, a lot of dualism. But whenever John talks about dark, it's not just that it was night out, but there's also a spiritual connotation. Nicodemus came at night. So it's not only dark out, but Nicodemus was in spiritual darkness. This one, the manna was small, his humility, round, his eternality, and white, his purity. Okay. It was sweet to the taste and met the needs of the people. The manna was given to a rebellious people as a gracious gift. All they had to do was stoop and pick it up. Otherwise, they walked on it. So, you know, some parallels that might be helpful. And we have metaphors for, you know, eating flesh and drinking blood for Jewish people. Prohibited. Genesis 9:4. You shall not eat the flesh with the blood. So this is a very graphic. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Well, obviously, these people are misunderstanding what can, you know, metaphors sometimes speak deeper truths. In English, for example, and this comes from one of my professors, we devour books. We know what that means. We drink in a lecture. We swallow a story, which you guys do every Sunday. We ruminate on ideas. We chew on a matter. We eat our words. And then finally, I would just point out, verse 56, Jesus says, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." So that is, if you will, defining the eating and drinking. And that is ultimately the purpose, to abide in Christ. And if we are Christians, Christ and the Holy Spirit, of course, are abiding in us. As the great St. Augustine said concerning this passage, actually, in lectures on John, crede et manduscati. Anybody? Anybody? Means believe and you have eaten. And in verses 40 and 54 that are parallel, only the true bread can satisfy and give eternal life. And that person will be raised up the last day. And so it's not just about, you know, food and drink. The greater, if you will, greater importance, whatever your view is, you know, sacramentarian, anti-sacramentarian, the greater purpose, and for John especially, is that we are in Christ, his body and blood. And to be a Christian, we have to, if you will, consume Christ, his flesh, drink his blood. I mean, that's pretty graphic, but that's the radical nature of what it means to be saved from darkness into light.